Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and for the first time here in 2022, we're talking with our city guests and three guests in studio here today, as is per tradition each year. We have City Manager Ron Fear in studio with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And joining him, we have outgoing Mayor Wynn Butler and City Commissioner. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And the incoming mayor here in 2022, Linda Morse.
Thanks for being here.
Good to have you both on here this morning as we continue the tradition here and change things up a little bit in 2022. Normally, we have the mayor on every meeting for In Focus, but Ron, we kind of worked out a new thing here in 2022.
We did, and I think it's a good suggestion. The commissioners visited about it, and essentially you're going to have a different commissioner each month that'll join me or one of our staff for the radio show. We appreciate K-Man. Giving us the time and the opportunity to inform our citizens about things that are on upcoming agendas as well as other things going on that involve the city. So I think it'll be a good format, and I think the commissioners are looking forward to it.
Yeah. I toyed with the idea here earlier this year and thought it would be good because, you know, it's nice to hear from the mayor traditionally each month, but I know we have four other commissioners, and they all have voices, and it's nice to hear from them as well, Linda.
That's true. And as we listen each week or every 2 weeks, Wynn has had the bully pulpit all year long, and he has used it. And I think it's going to be important to hear from all the commissioners so that you get a better representation of our thinking.
Yep. Mayor, it's been nice to have you on here on the program this year. As you kind of look back, just what has been accomplished here in the city level in the last 12 months. Is there anything you're most particularly proud of here?
Well, what I like is we did finally get going here economically in terms of, you know, making Manhattan a holiday destination. And that was, you know, the workings of DMI and Aggieville Business Association and the Chamber. And they finally got all the various events tied together, and everything worked out fine except for that one windstorm, sort of goofed us up a little bit. But I think that's going to pick up steam next year, and we're going to continue making some progress there. We got our electric fixed on Points Avenue, which was a big drawback on those kind of things. So I'm pretty happy with that. And of course, when people say, what was the big accomplishment this year? Well, you got to remember the mayor is just a ceremonial position. And so what happens is it takes three commissioners to make anything take place. And that's why it's good. You change the format. You can get, all five of the commissioners to rotate through here. And I wasn't able to be here anyway for a couple months because of the election. They always throw me off the radio for that because then I get the bully pulpit too much. And so I wasn't here for the whole time anyway.
Yeah. Well, and, as far as, we see partisan politics kind of rearing its ugly head, even at the local level these days. We saw it in the school board race here just this past year. And, I know it's even filtering at some points into the city levels. We're starting to see that a little bit. And there's going to be a changeover as far as the political leanings of the majority of the commission here in 2022. How do each of you see that faring into city business here as we go forward? Start with you, Wynn.
Well, I've always thought, people talk about, the city commission elections are nonpartisan, and that's always been nonsense. Has been since 2011, because when you're out there, walking the streets, talking to people, first thing they ask you is what party you're in. And if you tell them it's a nonpartisan election, I don't want to say, then they come back with an answer. Well, if you don't tell me, I'm not voting for you. And so basically everybody knows who's a Republican, who's a Democrat, who's an independent. And the parties have been openly supporting more this time than they did past time, but last time they were behind the scenes doing it, helping raise money and things like that. So anybody that thinks, those parties aren't involved, they're just not paying attention.
Linda, do you have a response to that?
Oh, I think that we have to aspire to the best that we can be. And playing hardball with partisan politics in a nonpartisan election is crossing lines that have never been crossed before and is really disrupting our regular process where we talk about issues locally and not throw flames. So I'm a supporter of the nonpartisan approach, that political parties, Republican or Democrat, are not endorsing candidates. And you can seek the support of any one person you want in the individually, the people you know. But the partisanship crosses the line for me.
All right. Well, you know, one thing we've seen in the last almost 2 years now is masking has been very politicized here at every level of government. And just right before Christmas, the city manager here, Ron Fear, you implemented the mask requirement here for all facilities, and that applied to the public. That was amended here. And starting yesterday, that's just applying to city employees. Maybe I'll first get to your reasoning on having the requirement and then why it was modified.
Sure. So it's something that we've done periodically. I mean, sometimes it's been the commission that's done it earlier, where we had a mask ordinance citywide that was based on, again, the challenge we had in two counties. You know, hopefully we're learning some from some of our past experiences of being able to do that. Part of that's been led by, you know, some of the variables that are happening in the community as far as cases and the spread. And we've recently had our animal shelter had to close because we had a positive case and enough folks that were exposed to that had to quarantine. So obviously we're just getting new quarantine rules. That's been one of the challenges of managing during COVID is that the rules seem to always be changing. You know, really from as I reflected back on the last couple of years in managing COVID, it really, we've asked staff to do a lot. We've asked them to work during COVID, and we've asked them to do more than they were really hired to do. And that gets back to the enforcement angle of things. And so what can we realistically enforce? We didn't hire a rec supervisor to be a police officer and ask somebody to leave the facility because they're not in compliance with our mask policy. So we kind of looked at what are the practical things we can do to reinforce that, and then what can we do to provide the best personal protective equipment for our employees so that we can stay open and provide those services to the public. So that was really the primary focus of what we were looking for as we approach this new year, even though I recognize things are expanding and challenging now, continuing. So it's been a challenging couple of years, and looks like the COVID roller coaster's doing well. And we'll continue into 22, unfortunately.
Yeah, certainly the case. Well, I know that anytime you implement anything like this, it's going to be met with criticism. And it's certainly, we've seen a mix, you know, as you expect here in our community. But was the reason it was amended to just employees? Because it seems to me like that would require, if you were going to do it for the entire public, a vote of the commission. Is that not safe to say?
So I have the authority I'm charged with managing our facilities. So this is the public that is utilizing, either engaging in our services, coming to a meeting in our city facilities. So my responsibility is to look to the safety of all of those folks when they're in a guest in our facility or engaging in our program. So that's where, again, a lot of those situations where folks haven't been wearing a mask, have been more confrontational. It's not that, you know, COVID provides enough stress and anxiety to ask somebody to be a police officer when they're not hired as a police officer. Right. And even asking a police officer to do that can be very difficult, quite frankly. So that really gets back to it. You know, we're still encouraging folks to wear masks. We've stepped up our availability to our workforce of personal protective equipment, medical grade masks to try and keep them protected. We still have our restricted staff areas, so if they come back into those areas, and we're providing opportunities and options for our employees to do different forms of engagement more. They can be in their office and Zoom into the meetings, more online type options, hybrid meetings. So there's options. We've learned a lot through the last couple of years. Technology certainly has helped with a lot of that. So those options are available for us to try and meet those needs, even with engaging customers.
All right. Well, we've seen so many different ways that mask policies could be crafted here in the last couple of years. Of course, we had the citywide mask mandate in public places for a while there. So it's interesting. I appreciate you kind of explaining that. I'm sure Mayor Butler here, you probably have disagreements with some of the stuff that he says.
No, I just my concern was, no matter what you do on this, you're going to get about half the people call you and say they love masks, and half of them yelling that everybody should be fired that does this. And so I think what Ron did was a great compromise. Because, if you're managing people, you've got to keep your folks healthy. I mean, we had 9 snowplows out there. If everybody in public works had COVID, your streets wouldn't be plowed. So he's absolutely right. He's got to take, we got to take some action to protect the employees. And like our customer service people are in what I call fishbowl, they're pretty much protected. So it makes sense to me to say, okay, the public, okay, you can come to the rec centers, you can come to the commission room, you can come pay your water bill, and you don't have to wear a mask, and it's probably not going to cause a problem for any of our employees because they're not out playing basketball or pickleball on the courts, with people. And then the office spaces, if you have to go back in there, you're going to need to wear a mask. I think that's fair. So it's a good compromise, but between the two extremes. And that's what we needed. And I don't think any policy you craft is not going to keep everybody in the city happy. There's just people on each extreme. And that's just, how it is. And part of that is because this has gone on for 2 years and the rules change, every 6 weeks. And people have just lost confidence in a lot of it. And so, my position is about like it always has been, which is let's just simply let everybody make their own, freedom of choice on it. Wear a mask if you feel that's important. If you don't. Same with the vaccine. Though the vaccines seem to be much more effective than the masks, if you had to pick between the two. But I'm not for mandating anything. It seems clear that when you do that, it just upsets people and causes a bunch of them to dig in their heels and not do it, where you're better off to just encourage it. And that's sort of where we are. And, it looks like with this Omicron thing, it may rip through here in the next few weeks, and things will probably get worse before they get better.
Yeah, probably.
I'd like to speak.
You bet.
I think that Ron had a good vision and was anticipating the Omicron variant and what it could do to our community. It's not just, his vision was larger than just city employees. He's kind of cut that back. But as I look at it, we also have some different tools at our disposal now than we had last year when we locked things down here. I don't think anyone's talking about doing that anymore. We're talking about just taking it in stride, getting vaccinated, trying to deal with the variant in vaccination ways and testing so that we can go on with a normal life. It would have to get really, I supported the masking last year. And if things got really bad with Omicron, I would again. But as things are playing out now, I don't think it's not that necessary. I personally wear a mask because I don't want to get it. I don't want to have the long-term effects of it. And I don't want to be responsible for giving it to someone else or catching it. I don't want to be out of action for 2 weeks.
Right.
And I don't have leave. I'm retired. And I'm older, the consequences are greater for me than they are for someone who's 40 or 20. So that's just the way I look at it. And I think Ron did a good thing and tried it. And, there was an outcry and... But he's, looking after the city employees and the city facilities, and that's what the city commission hires him to do, and he's done a good job of that.
All right. Well said. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back more with our In Focus guests here, City Manager Ron Feer, Manhattan Mayor Wynn Butler, and Mayor Pro Tem, soon-to-be Mayor Linda Morse here on In Focus.